Hello, and thank you for joining us today for our series Revelation Expectations. In today's episode, John has a conversation with one of the seven angels from chapter 16. The angel exposes Babylon and its evil influences throughout the world. Welcome to episode 21, entitled Mysteries of Babylon Revealed. I'm Dr. Stephanie Wright.
I am Apostle Charles Wright.
Well, it's time to get started.
Reading from chapter 17 and the first verse of Revelation. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, or bowls, and talked with me, and this is John speaking, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication.
So who is this great whore? If we skip to the last verse, 18, in this chapter, it says, And the woman which you saw in that great city, which reigns over the kings of the earth. So that great city is Babylon. Also, the reference to many waters. According to verse 15 in this chapter, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. In the second verse, the kings of the earth are mentioned also in verse 18. Also in the second verse, the reference to the kings of the earth is also mentioned in verse 18 of this chapter. And in chapter 16, one of our previous chapters, those in power and empowered by the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. These also represent corrupt political, economic, and religious systems, which all continue to propagate rebellion against God.
So you see here in these first two verses that there are kings and people and multitudes and nations of various tongues who are part of this enterprise, if you would, of Babylon, wherein the devil in himself, the false prophet, the Antichrist, are rulers. So reading in the third verse, it tells us, So he, meaning the angel, to whom he was talking, carried him into the wilderness in his spirit and in the Holy Spirit. And this is what he said, I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Remember, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, surely this is not the place he has prepared for us, because a wilderness is a place of desolation and no life, and where there is death and suffering. So we see here that not only the wilderness, but they said the scarlet colored beast. The beast, of course, in this case is the Antichrist and the 10 horns and the seven heads have names listed upon them that can be identified as names of blasphemy, such as sacrilege, desecration, violation, cursing, and impiety, corruption, profanity, irreverence, insult, debasement, or defilement.
So in verse 3 also, we see John is back on earth in the wilderness, and he sees this woman who is not a woman, as we pointed out in verse 1, but is the city of Babylon. And this represents everything that opposes and has opposed God for eons, since the beginning of time. It goes back and references to Nimrod in Genesis 10 and 10. And this is where we get the city Babylon, or the Tower of Babel. And we talked about blasphemy in chapter 16 and how it is the highest form of cursing God, which Apostle Charles has already spoken to us about.
And in verse 4, it states, And the woman was arrayed, meaning the city of this great city, Babylon, was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. So we see that this city that looks like a woman in his vision, this city was attractive and very seductive.
Now, going to verse 5, we're going to focus on three things in that particular verse. Upon her forehead was written the name Mystery, Babylon the Great, the Mother of Harlots. I see mystery as Babylon saying, I cannot be exposed. But then it's followed by Babylon the Great, which emphasizes its false power. But then, in the last part, Babylon does expose itself with the words, the mother of harlots and abomination. This is how God sees Babylon, as corrupted, vile, polluted world system that blasphemes him. And there are 10 forms of the word blaspheme, or implied as blaspheme, in Revelation, the vilest form of expressing hatred toward God. In verse 6, it says, and I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. This does not mean that John admired her as we understand it. It means he was awestruck or amazed at the depth of the wickedness Babylon represented. Babylon reveled in the blood that was shed of God's followers, the saints and the martyrs. It reminds me of a serial killer who is intoxicated with killing. And moving to verse 7, the angel said to me, why are you marveling, John? I will tell you the mystery of this woman and the beast that carries her, which has 7 heads and 10 horns. The angel sees that John is amazed and offers to tell John what he has been shown. Verse 8 says, the beast that you saw was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So we have 4 things, basically, in this particular verse that we look at. 1, the beast. 2, the bottomless pit. 3, the beast and his perdition. And 4, those who are not written in the book of life. The beast is the Antichrist. Reference, Revelation chapter 13, verse 3, where the Antichrist is supposedly mortally wounded and comes back to life. Revelation 11, 7 refers to the beast coming out of the bottomless pit, and going into perdition could reference his ultimate casting into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Reference Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20. Those that dwell in the earth and wonder are amazed at the beast, the Antichrist, and apparently took his mark because they are not written in the book of life.
I noticed also, Stephanie, that it does identify this Antichrist who was slain or believed and supposedly slain. And therefore, it says the Antichrist that was, the beast that was, he saw him. And then it says, and is not, meaning that it implies that he supposedly died and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Yes, you said that. And then go into perdition. You mentioned that. However, I'm thinking and believe that, of course, yes, this is deceit work of the devil that appears to be miracles, but they're not miracles. And the people of the earth entirely who were not followers of Jesus Christ, they were amazed themselves. Verse 9 in chapter 17 of Revelation, we read, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. Verse 10 says, and there are 7 kings, 5 have fallen, 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he does come, he must continue a short time. I looked at some scriptures, I looked at some history, and it appears that there was a Caesar at the time of John, who lived in the years of 81 to 95 or 96, and John supposedly had written this work in 95 AD. And that one who was alive, his name was Domitian. And then it says, and then there's one who has not yet come, and that would be Nerva, the Caesar Nerva, who only lived for 2 years. And you see, it says here, he must continue just for a short space of time. And so he apparently reigned as Caesar from 96 AD to 98 AD. So we also are told by Jesus himself that we're in Matthew 24 and 22. He said, except that the time is shortened, no flesh could be saved. So we're looking at, pay attention to the concept of time, short time, briefly, and of course, that which he shall come in the twinkling of an eye.
There is also a theory that the Roman Empire will be resurrected in the tribulation. You can get into more detail about who the five kings are that are fallen and the other two that follow. But we do not know who really will be in power at the time of the tribulation and great tribulation. And in verse 10, regardless of who these kings are supposed to be representing, they will join Antichrist to war against the Lamb that is referenced at the end of this chapter.
Reading from verse 11, it states, "And the beast, or Antichrist, that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven that goeth into perdition." So we see here that the Antichrist himself will join forces with the seven and go into perdition as well. Because Babylon is fallen.
It appears that the Antichrist is the eighth king. At least that's the interpretation that I have of it. And as we look at verse 8, which references the beast going into perdition, which points to his ultimate casting into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And that will be covered in Revelation chapter 19, verse 20.
I'd like to make a comment and remind ourselves that many things that are listed here are historical as well as allegorical, because or metaphorical, because these things have not happened in our time so much, but as it will happen in a tremendous way and during the Great Tribulation. However, we all know history that there have been several empires that have been reigning and trying to rule the world throughout history, and many of those have fallen already, but they're not. They're only precursors of the real thing that we're talking about here with the Antichrist. In the verse 12, it says, "And the 10 horns which you saw," which this is the angel speaking to John, "and the 10 horns which thou seest," or saw, "are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast." There's that timing element again. And I believe that these kings are those in the those during the tribulation, the great tribulation, are the ones we will see that will cause uprising in the city of Babylon.
Now, looking at verse 14, "These shall make war with the Lamb," these referring to the 10 kings and the Antichrist, "and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings." This is the Lamb. "And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." So we have two things in particular that we are looking at in verse 14, that the 10 kings and the Antichrist are going to come against the Lamb, who is Jesus, and that we are his chosen and faithful, who will also be riding with him, and that the Antichrist and the 10 kings will be defeated. And this is pointing to Armageddon, which we will be studying in Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 21. And in verse 15, it says, "He said to me," the angel speaking to John, that is, "the waters which you saw, where the whore sits, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." This goes right back to the first verse in this chapter that we looked at. This shows how far stretching Babylon's influence carried. It carried to peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And this also helps us to understand that it's not just a city. It represents a world system that is opposed to God and blasphemes God. Moving on to verse 16. "And the 10 horns which you saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire." Verse 17, "For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled." So in verse 16, we have two things that we're looking at: the 10 horns first, and second, they're turning on the woman who represents Babylon and the rebellion against God. Verses 16 and 17 are a preview of what will happen in chapter 18. The ultimate destruction of Babylon, a world system of evil opposing God. In verse 16, above, references, quote, burn her, Babylon, with fire. This is also referenced in Revelation chapter 18, verse 9, which says, see the smoke of her burning. The 10 horns on the head of the beast symbolically represent a variety of kingdoms that are going to rise to world powers, but they will not last long, and they will not be allowed to rule. Now, there are different interpretations as to the position of these 10 horns on the beast, but it seems clear that they are kings who come together for a war against Babylon. They are corrupt, yet they are tearing down a system that is corrupt. It appears to be a civil war in Babylon. Babylon is having infighting. But at the same time that the civil war and infighting is going on, they are doing exactly what God wants them to do. In their confusion, they are dividing themselves so God will conquer their evil.
And also so that Babylon itself will fall, because they hated. They got to the point they hated Babylon. And there's, like Stephanie said, infighting. In other words, a civil war. They have their own civil war. And you know how demons are. They'll turn on each other. Anyway, it reminds me of Gideon, how God's will must be done and what God wanted to happen. He told Gideon to take his 300 soldiers with him, his chosen soldiers, divide them in three different sections, and come against the Midianites. And what they did, they were instructed by God. He said, take your lamps and burn it at night. You know, lift up your lamps, and also take your jars and break the jars and run into the enemy's camp and declaring the sword of the Lord. And so when that happened, it caught them off guard, their enemies off guard, and they began to fight among themselves and to slaughter each other. It didn't say that Gideon actually slaughtered them, because God let them get confused. So demons are going to get confused, turn on their own city, bring it into fire, fight among themselves. Who wants to be in power? I want to be first. Well, that's what's going to pretty much happen in general. And don't forget, Jesus said himself that he would come as a thief in the night, and that when he would come unexpectedly and stealthily, and he will confuse his enemies. Now, verse 18, and the woman, Babylon, which thou sawest, is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth.
And this verse, Apostle Charles, goes right back to verse 1, where one of the seven angels tells John he will show him the judgment of the great whore. Verse 18 tells us the great whore is Babylon. Again, it is not a woman, but represents mankind and his world system that has existed for eons and has rejected God from the beginning of time. So that brings us to the conclusion of chapter 17.
Yeah, don't forget, you should go back and read in Genesis where the first rebellion took place after the flood, the building of the Tower of Babel.
Thank you for joining us, and stay tuned. We're going to follow right up with chapter 18, which is going to be covering the destruction of Babylon. Thank you for joining us. May God's peace, power, and protection cover you until next time.
If you want to contact us or comment on this podcast, please visit our website at cgmissions.com/podcast, where all episodes are available by category and series format. You may also view these episodes on our YouTube channel, the symbol at CG Missions Inc. or INC. This is Apostle Charles. Until next time, God bless you.
Charles George Missions is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Donations are tax deductible. Donations may be made through our website, cgmissions.com.